I'm not going to try to do exposition of this text. This is sort of a springboard. I couldn't fit everything I wanted to say in this text. So we're not going to twist the text, but let's just read this for starters. It has the ingredients. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's cultivated field, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, and I'm not going to go on. Now, I know Marie's here. Is Pastor Mike here? Oh, there he is. Okay. He's out of character, you know, with that leg. I want to ask Mike to pray, but he was an elder here for 20 years, and I think Marie was Bible Club director, and something like that, a lot of ministry. And so Mike had a vital role. He's homegrown, you know, both of them are, as missionaries. We thank the Lord. That's a testimony right there of what God has done at Athens Bible Church, the training of Pastor Hickson. But Pastor Mike, would you lead us to the throne of grace? Amen. Now, I want to say at the outset, 40 years of faithful ministry at ABC for Pastor Bill Hickson and Linda. It is a milestone. You know, this is something to celebrate, to thank God for, to recognize. And remembering, the three points I'm going to touch on are God's appointment, God's gifts, and God's grace, which He has given to His servant. So this is about God. He said, don't let this be about me. Well, it is about God, what He did through Him. And before we get into the scriptures, there's a little bit of background. I know there's some in your program there, but let me give a little bit of background. You may not know all the details. I didn't actually until I inquired about some of these things. Pastor Hickson was saved when he was 13 in a Christian home with godly parents at Tabernacle Baptist in Chillicothe. He attended a high university, graduated with a political science major, and in his senior year, 1970, I believe it was, he attended Pastor Ospaugh's Bible class, and God's hand was on him. And he went to Grace Theological Seminary, where he was trained, probably the best theologians in the country at the time, and some of them still living. John Whitcomb, Dr. Hoyt, I believe some of these have passed on, Dr. Boyer, Dr. Kent, Pastor French, and there's probably others. But that was really good foundation laid there. And I would say for Pastor Ospaugh's ministry, so Christ-centered in emphasis too, had a major part there in training him. And then as he began his ministry, well, he in seminary helped start Columbia City Bible Church in Indiana, also later helped start Grace Chapel in Dover, and he was associate pastor of Dover Bible Church during the seminary years, 3 years. Then he came back to ABC to be the pastor in 1976 and has been faithful ever since to the ministry here. By the way, it doesn't just happen, you know. There's grace of God involved in that. And then he was ordained, I believe that was in 1976, and married Linda Kuhlman, 1980, and very good helpmate. That's proven with 40 years, too. And And also, Pastor Hickson is the chairperson on the U.S. Board of GMSA, so administrative gifts. That's a little bit of a background. We are going to try to put the focus on the Lord here and what he's done through the man, through the ministry here. And it is about God. Our salvation is about God, right? You have not chosen me, I've chosen you, ordained you, that you should go forth and bear fruit. This thing starts in heaven. Foreknew, predestinated, that's a wonderful thing. And, of course, that's no less true in the ministry itself. God ordains it. And we heard that well through Steve Benson. That was a good message in the Sunday school hour about God's call, God's ordaining. So there's a little bit of an overlap here. If you were with us the first service, these things start with God. Please go, if you will, to the book of Acts, chapter 13, a couple passages in the book of Acts in chapter 13. I realize God lays it on the heart. If a man desires the office of a bishop, spiritual overseer, he desires good work. But also, even that is from God. In Acts chapter 13, verse 1, you know it. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work unto which I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Spirit, departed unto Seleucia, and so forth. So that's a wonderful thing, and a very reassuring thing to a man in the ministry. God's called me to do this. You know, when the hard times happen, and they inevitably do in the gospel ministry, there's that reassurance, is there not? God's appointed me to do this. I'm just his spokesman, just doing his will, which Pastor Hickson has faithfully done. Now let's go to Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Acts 20:28. This is Paul's address to the Ephesian elders. "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers." Again, spiritually, to feed, shepherd, the church of God. That's very fitting there with the shepherd staff. To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. So we see the emphasis there. You know, the book of Acts, Acts of the Apostles, really Acts of the Holy Spirit. You could say the Acts of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit through his apostles. Athens Bible Church, Pastor Hickson, this is of God. And that's the only explanation. That's a miracle. And we'll get into more details later on that. Now, let's go to Jeremiah. Bear with me, because I'm going to drag my feet on this first point here. Jeremiah 1:5. Now, Jeremiah, he apparently is very young. He didn't think he's fit for it, but God did. And Jeremiah 1:5. "Before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Now, you know, Pastor Hickson was ordained in 1976. But he's ordained by God before he's ordained by man. And so this is what we want to see. And again, Galatians 1, we see a similar, actually, testimony here by the Apostle Paul. Galatians 1:15. These things are appointed. "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." And so throughout the scriptures, Old or New Testament, whether it's a prophet of the Old Testament, whether it's a pastor of the New Testament or elder, there's a calling. There's a definite calling. There's a definite appointment. It's prearranged, ordained by God, even the preparation. Now, I don't know if I can turn to all these for time's sake, but you have the Lord Jesus in John 20, verse 21. He said, "As the Father has sent me," what? So send I you. And so that's amazing. And by the way, Hebrews 5 says that Jesus did not appoint himself, just like Aaron of the Old Testament did not appoint himself. And so this is not a self-appointment. This is a God appointment. Paul emphasizes in the beginning of many of his epistles, he's an apostle, by the will of God, by the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ. So at best, we're unprofitable servants, right? We're doing what he has appointed us to do. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We don't have a clock in our sanctuary, but this is, it keeps guard over you. He said, I have to read this because of his testimony. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. Now you know the background with Paul. He says, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, in that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. I'm going to skip to verse 16. Verse 15 says, well, I'll read it. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Nevertheless, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering, and so forth. And so God's mercy, he speaks of that in 2 Corinthians 4. I won't turn there. By the mercy of God I'm in the ministry. It's all the grace of God. It's not just his appointment. It's an appointment in grace. It's appointment in mercy. I like what Steve Benson brought out. And even though we're sinful, we have limitations, God uses us anyway. Isn't it amazing? And it's all his grace. And so we can thank him. We want to put this into proper perspective. And by the way, if there's any crowns there, what do you do with them in heaven? You cast them at the Savior's feet. And we praise God for the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. And he's the head of the church. And he is the one who's sending forth laborers into the harvest. He's still doing it. So it's quite an amazing thing, amazing grace and privilege for anybody to be called to serve in any capacity. And so that's the first point I want to bring out. I have more to this first point, though. What is it a calling to? It is a calling to the Word of God. Now, if you go back to the text where we started, which I said I'm not really doing exposition here, but it parallels somewhat. 1 Corinthians 3, 5. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers? Now that word means servants. And by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. And I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So it's a servant, as one who is dispensing the word of God. Now that's the planting. Actually, that is also the watering. It is the word of God. So this is a calling. This is an appointment to preach the word. And I believe, well, you know, Pastor Hickson's forte is that. It's the preaching the word. Seems like it keeps getting better and better, you know. And so we're called to preach the gospel, go into all the world and preach the gospel. I appreciate a holding fast to the gospel with all the winds of doctrine that blow through, just like Steve brought out. There's the defending of the sheep. You've been defended here, you know, from all the false gospels. And so there's a holding fast. Please go to 2 Timothy, because in every chapter of 2 Timothy, you have this, the word emphasized by Paul to Timothy, who was also appointed. And notice 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Spirit who dwelleth in us. Now, I want to read an illustration on that. You notice the holding fast here is in faith and love. It isn't just with the head, right? This is with the heart, with conviction. And this is a little book my wife got at a yard sale. It's 100 years old, and it has good content. And this is called The Source of Power. A man who does not believe the Bible has no Bible grounds to expect power. And this is one reason why the pulpit and pew have lost power. Nothing is fixed. The other day, a man went to President McKinley and said, this is old. I don't know what year that was. Wanting a job, he asked, are you a Republican? No, sir. A Democrat? No, sir. A populist? No, sir. Well, what are you then? Well, sir, they say at home that I'm a straddler. Now, that's it. We've too many straddlers. We want men who believe what they pretend to preach, not because some little ology says so, but because God says it, and that's enough. I say this will give a man power. That's a secret of Pastor Hickson's ministry of the Word. No question about that. Hold fast in faith and love. Now, please go to 2 Timothy 2:15, if you will. Another exhortation to Timothy. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, it means, of course, give all diligence, and the approval is before God. And several of us, when we're starting a book study, we go to Pastor Hickson to get some books. Every time he does a book study, he buys more books. And I don't know of any other preacher that studies 20 to 30 books for a message. I can't do it, but he does it. and so you're fortunate. There's some study. There's some real study that goes behind it, some real diligence. And you ladies who like to cook, you know what it is to make a really good meal, and everything's just right, and it's prepared for you, and you're getting some good meals because there's some real preparation that's going behind it. Now, let's go to chapter 3, verse 14. Of course, the context here is the last days, perilous times shall come. And what's the advice Paul gives Timothy? And by the way, we need this advice, not to get too nervous, you know, about what's going on. But continue thou, verse 14, in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Stay in the word, and from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed. God originated. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And that's been done here. And notice, here's the culmination, chapter 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be diligent, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So we thank God that's happened here through Pastor Bill Hickson, preaching of the word. Now, there's more to it. As you maybe heard the phrase, the ministry, the pulpit, is about one-tenth of the ministry. And there's a whole lot besides. And what is it besides? Well, there's a shepherding. And there's an individual interest and concern and nurturing of people's souls. And this also, of course, is an appointment. There's overlap in all my points here. And this is a gift. But it is a vital part, that shepherding, that spiritual oversight. And please go to 1 Peter chapter 5. This is something of a broad overview. In 1 Peter, in chapter 5, and with this I'm really getting into my second point a little. Verse 1, the elders who are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight of it, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now, I can tell you a first-hand experience. Pastor Hickson didn't come here for the money. we gave him, I was on the board, I think it was $450 a month is what we gave.
$400, okay.
We remember these things, you know. And also, he didn't need much, though, because there was only one stripe on his pajama, you know. He was one thin man, you know, until he got married. And but anyway.
Also got a raise.
He got a raise. So this shepherding, that's a wonderful thing. You know, that's the love of Jesus Christ for his church to ordain under-shepherds to take care of his own. Really, you do want to look past the man to thank you, Lord, you know, for the ministry that you're giving me through your under-shepherd to care for my soul, to intercede for me in prayer. It's a big part of it. To give counsel, personal admonition, direction. And God gives wisdom, you know, to an under-shepherd. So you want to, you know, Hebrews chapter 13, you want to submit, you want to obey. 1 Thessalonians 5, you want to know them, have a good relationship with them, because that's the Lord's outreach to you. And so that's been so for Pastor Hicks. I know that. I know that for myself. And we went up to Salem in 1979, too young. Nobody can tell you at the time, you know. And then in 1984, we bought land. We had one family, and they left, but we had the land. And there was a hill there. Pastor Hickson came up, prayed on the hill. I never forgot that. And then when my cancer went metastatic, he's doing okay now. This is 2.5 years ago. He came up, prayed with me, counseled me. Two things he said: accept it, serve God with the time you have. I appreciate it. Never forgot that. And so he's a pastor's pastor. And so a true shepherd, no question about that. So point number one, how much time do we have? That was God's appointment. Okay, we're going to look at God's gifts, and really the shepherding and the word of God is already touched upon. In our context here, you notice the Lord gave to every man. And these gifts are from the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. We heard in our scripture reading, Ephesians 4:11, that Christ gave some apostles, some prophets, some pastor teacher, the Greek, you know, one word. And so they're a gift from Jesus Christ to the church. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says they're given for a profit, in other words, for the benefit of the body of Christ. By definition, a spiritual gift is a Holy Spirit endowment to serve God and his people in some capacity. And everybody has a spiritual gift, right? Sovereignly given. Let me read a passage in 1 Corinthians 12:11, where it says, "But all these worketh that one and the very same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." So this is God's appointment. Now, I like what Pastor Hickson said about it is a team effort, for sure. And that's a local body, you know. It takes everybody involved to do the work of the Lord. Now, these gifts are called a grace. Please go to 1 Peter 4:10. God doesn't give the gifts for the person's sake, but for the church's sake. And there's a divine stewardship involved in this. In 1 Peter 4:10, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as if the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." But notice that. The manifold grace of God, that's the gifts. God has given specific gifts. Now, back in our kind of springboard context here, in 1 Corinthians 3, notice it says, Paul says, "I have planted," verse 6, "Apollos watered." Now, you're familiar, Pastor Ospaugh planted Athens Bible Church 1970, and then there was a 1974, a charter membership. Pastor Erickson came in 1976. So Pastor Ospaugh planted and Pastor Hickson watered. Now, it's a very fitting parallel because if you're familiar with Apollos, what was Apollos? He was an exceptional preacher. Well, you have an exceptional preacher here in Pastor Hickson. Please go to Acts chapter 18, verse 24. Now, I would add, though, I know Pastor Hickson also did a lot of planting because of the overturning of people at Athens Bible Church in a university setting. It was a constant planting and training. But notice Acts 18, as we look at this man, Apollos, verse 24. A certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. Being fervent in the Spirit, he spoke and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And he goes on, verse 28, for he mightily convinced the Jews and the publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Now, I'd like to go into a little bit about, okay, the watering, the ministry of the Word, and what God has done. I know this won't even touch on a percentage of it. But in the ministry here at OU to the OUBF, the students, and outreach on campus, many souls reached. Chinese students, Pastor Hickson told me he prayed for two things especially, a theologian to be raised up and an evangelist raised up. You heard about the evangelist in that letter. And there is a Chinese theologian, too, that was raised up. So it's amazing how God answered prayer. When he came to Athens and he interviewed with us, I think it was even at that time he expressed this was temporary. He was going to be a missionary in China. Well, he was a missionary in China. And I don't think it could be calculated what has been done in the ministry in China. In fact, they can't even communicate everything back, you know, of all that happens over there. There was even a man saved last Sunday, a Chinese man who couldn't speak a word of English. And he was asking about the just shall live by faith. And so Pastor Hickson did a little series on that a couple weeks ago. He asked about that. So anyway, the light came on where he saw that. Was justified by faith, Jesus' blood, his sacrificial death and resurrection. And so God continues to work in that way. But there's also been much ministry in the community, many Bible classes, much care for the sick, the dying, many funerals, and training of men. It's estimated over 35 are in the ministry from this church. And that's just the ones known about. They're either pastors or elders somewhere. So I look at Athens as it's the Antioch of our fellowship. A lot of people. So you don't look at Athens Bible Church from what you see here, you know. It's worldwide what God has done. So that's back in our context, if you want to call it that, and where he says, I keep apologizing for this. You notice, I planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase. God had a plan. Even in the early days, there was a movement, you know, in the universities, not just here, but in the country, and where God gave the increase. And God's still giving the increase here, for which we thank the Lord. Well, there's one more point in the short time we have. There's God's appointment, God's gifts, and God's grace. And what I mean to emphasize by that, you know that it's unmerited favor, undeserved love, but as it's used in the Christian life and ministry, it's God's grace that results in divine enablement. And like God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace will be enough for thee. You know, we have this treasure in what? Earthen vessels. We are weak pieces of clay, you know. And so, without me ye can do nothing, Jesus said. And Paul, he acknowledged in his own testimony, I am what I am by the grace of God. Our sufficiency is not of ourselves, our sufficiency is of God. So, I know Pastor Hickson would be the first to testify of that. It's been God's grace. And God's grace has been sufficient. We were talking, had good fellowship last night, and talking about the trials and tests that come. He mentioned God wants us weak. Why? Well, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, he works it all together for good. He doesn't make any mistakes, and he has a plan, and this is part of it right here. Now, you know, Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Sometimes God will deliver you from it, or sometimes through it. And he prayed three times it would be taken from him, and he said, verse 9, unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength, now it's a parallel, is made perfect, it's made complete in weakness. Why? Because that's when we cast ourselves upon him in our weakness. You're in the valley, that's when you look up. God uses it all. I know there have been tests and trials here. There's no mistake, you know. There's tests and trials in your and my life too. There's no mistake about it. Why? Well, Paul, notice what he says. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. It's a paradox. That's a Christian life. And you know, it's the opposite of the world, by the way. The world says, believe in yourself. You know, you have the strength within you. It's a false humanism. No, don't trust yourself at all. And trust in God, His grace, it will be sufficient. And I want to read in another illustration for you, if I might. The Reverend F.B. Meyer has a firewood factory, this is when he's living, I guess, in connection with his church. That's a simple illustration, but you'll get the point. Where employment is provided for men and boys, a circular saw is used for cutting through beams and solid timber. Until recently, this saw was worked by a crank, turned by 12 or 15 men. I told you it's an old book. But it was slow, hard, and expensive work. Now that's like you and I when we're trying in ourselves, you know. And at last, says Mr. Meyer, we were driven to something more expeditious and bought a gas engine. And now the saw, driven by this engine, does in 2 or 3 hours as much work as it did formerly in a day, and at less than a tenth of the cost. It is the same saw, but the difference lies in the power that drives it. It used to be driven by hand power. Now it is driven by an equivalent for steam, and the only thing we need to do is to keep the connecting band tight. It is not a question, continues Mr. Meyer, as to our abilities or qualifications, but of the power behind us. If that is nothing more than human, it is not surprising that the results are miserably poor. But if we link ourselves to the eternal power of God, nothing will be impossible to us. All things are possible to him that believeth. So, it's grace, right? Pastor Ospo used to say, We're like a train on two tracks, grace and mercy, you know. You're riding along. So, well, my time is failing me, but be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. Be established in grace. Grow in grace. And the God of all grace, after you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. The whole thing is grace. And this is, I know Pastor Hickson doesn't want us to talk about it, but the grace of God is manifest in sacrificial love, is it not? The faithful fulfillment of the calling. And it doesn't just happen. Perseverance in trials. We count them happy who endure. There's a lot of endurance. There's a lot behind the scenes. There's a lot that others don't even know about, the perseverance involved in the ministry. And I'd like to take more time on that. And then strength in the strenuous schedule. He told me, maybe he doesn't want me to tell you, it's been 12 hours a day, 7 days a week lately. Summer hasn't started yet. So strenuous. And then grace to minister to others, to be a channel of blessing. There's a certain selflessness about it, right? The ministry. And it's an awesome thing, you know, for God to appoint a man to be giving the care to others spiritually. And there's one more illustration. I meant to read this earlier. Bear with me here. But these can help, I think. And who's sufficient for it? During a voyage, sailing in a heavy sea near a reef of rocks, a minister on board the vessel made, in a conversation between the man at the helm and the sailors, an inquiry whether they should be able to clear the rocks without making another tack, when the captain gave orders that they should put off to avoid all risk. The minister observed, "I am rejoiced that we have so careful a commander." The captain replied, "It is necessary I should be very careful because I have souls on board. I think of my responsibility and remember that should anything happen through carelessness, souls are very valuable." The minister, turning to some of his congregation who were on the deck, observed, "The captain has preached me a powerful sermon. I hope I shall never forget when I'm addressing my fellow creatures on the concerns of eternity that I have souls on board." Well, there's souls on board here at Athens Bible Church. So, well, in conclusion, as we've said all these things, I want to reiterate what Pastor Hickson reiterates. I know it's a teamwork. You know, there's been a true statement said, there's only one position that takes more grace than being a pastor. That's being a pastor's wife, you know. And so there's a whole lot behind the scenes there. And so we thank the Lord for Linda and her faithful support. The 40 years is the proof. Thank the Lord for the deacons here and the faithful standing with the stuff. Also the faithful brethren, it's a teamwork. I don't know if you watch the Cleveland Cavaliers. I don't want to lower the level of the moment here. But I'm from northeastern Ohio, and I watched all those games, and we're standing around the TV screaming, you know, and it was historical. And then I didn't see the presentation of LeBron James, but I heard that on the platform he said, these 14 teammates, this is what did it. That's right. And so there's a teamwork here. Pray for your pastor. Stand behind your pastor. You're one, right? But it's a marvelous thing. This whole thing is of God. He has appointed. He's given the gifts. He's given the grace. And so may God continue to work through you, Pastor Hickson, your faithful servant. And may the Lord's commendation be given at that day for His glory. Well, I'm going to, before prayer, I want to sing, and let's stand and sing.